So, here we are on the 47th day of the Sefirah. We're on Daf Yud Zayin, as you promised. Tav Shin Samach Zayin, and we're up to... We just got finished discussing the problems of the chashash, that if a goy goes ahead and gives kedushin to a bas yisrael, that we have to be chashash, that maybe he's from the Aseres HaShavatim, and therefore the kedushin are tefsi. And we're in the middle... This maimer was being said over now by Reb Yehuda in the name of Reb Asi. And today he continues on to say, we're right at the last word of the fourth line, Ki Amrita Kameh de Shmuel, continues on Reb Yehuda to say, that when I told Shmuel over what it was that Reb Asi had said, he said to me, I don't understand what the chashash is before. Amalei said to him that there should be no problem over here because bincha abba min ha-Yisraelit karui bincha ve'in bincha abba min ha-Ovedet kochavim karui bincha ela bina, since it says in the Torah ki yasiret bincha me'acharai, it says don't allow your son to marry a goya, don't give your son to an Ovedet kochavim. And it says, don't give your daughter to the son of an Avoid Kehov. So it says over there, the Lashki Yasir et Bincha Me'achara, he will end up leading your son away from me. So Rashi is mefarish like this. The Yasir Me'achara is the pshat that the child that is born will be mine, meaning that he'll be Jewish. And now that father, that goyish father that you're going to allow your daughter to marry, he's going to end up turning your grandson, who is still Jewish, away from me. But since it doesn't say that on the other, it doesn't say kitasir, that the mother is going to end up being made to her son from your son away from me. So apparently, he wouldn't be Jewish anyway, so we don't have to worry about it. So from here we see that we only have to be chayish for matrilineal descent. Not for the father, only for the mother. And therefore, I don't understand what the problem is. Why would we think that it's from the Aseres HaShvatim? This is what I understand, what that's supposed to mean. Well, who said that it's only men? I mean, the Aseres HaShvatim are also women, no? Vayika banot, what about the women? You're not answering anything. Omer Avina, Shmamina, you see from here that ben bitcha abamin ha'ovik kochavim kori bincha and gamiri de benata da'udar, it's taruye, it's taru. That Ravina says over here, if your grandson is coming from now, your grandson through your daughter is coming from an ovik kochavim, that's called your son. But the daughter's, and this is all part of it. Here's where we get into the alternative approach. The throwing in the words of Ravina over here to say, well, what about the daughters? And doesn't Ravina say your grandson from a daughter is your grandson? Seems completely redundant, since that's what Shmuel just said.
In other words, we have to worry about the...
We knew that. Right. Before Ravina said it, that was included in Shmuel. Okay, right. All you needed to say was, Vayika Banot. You, Shmuel, just... So what do you say? And Ravina said that your grandson from a daughter of that's Jewish. That's what Shmuel said, that minor. Because of this, Tosfos says Rashi's pshat is impossible. Because it makes no sense to say Ravina, the Omar Ravina, if he's simply quoting Shmuel in a different way. So therefore, because of this, Tosfos has a completely different reading in the words, in the Diak and the Pasuk. He understands ki yasir et bincha is not a reference to his Judaism, but rather a reference to his yichus, which the Ri doesn't like. The Ri says, mi'acharai means mi'achar Hashem, not mi'acharecha. But okay, you could say that the loss of the yichus of Yisrael is ultimately the complete loss. But anyway, the Rabbeinu Tam is learning. Ki yasir is referring on the contrary. Bito lo tikach levanecha, lebincha. Don't take his daughter for your son, ki yasir, because that way his daughter, who's the he? The father-in-law, not the... Rashi's learning is talking about the son. No, the father-in-law will then end up removing that yichus from you. So that if you take as a mechutin, so to speak, a goy whose daughter will marry your son, he will end up removing your grandchild from you. Because it won't be your grandchild. Okay, the other shot is that the diyuk is from ki yasir et bincha, that the Torah is makpid dafka on the asarat bincha, and not on the asarat of ben bincha. Right? So in other words, that means that since he's the son of a Eretz Kehovim, he's not called bincha. But, because otherwise it would have said ki yisirem, the children, meaning all of the children, or yasir bincha and his children. So since it says only bincha, the mashmut is that the next generation. See, if that's the case, then we need Ravina's deer. Because we weren't referring to that next generation. He's saying, so you see from here, that since we're only makbid on the son, that he's going to end up becoming a guy, basically, but not his children, but by bitcha, so it's the exact opposite to you. By bitcha, the Torah never says anything. So therefore, we don't have the diak of the difference between one generation and the next generation. But by bincha, what you have to worry about is the son is going to be removed from Klal Yisrael, but not his grandson. So apparently his grandson isn't yours. That's what Ravina is saying. But that doesn't say anything about the, through the daughter. Ravina's additional diak is, since it only makes this distinction about yasir bincha and not yasir bitcha, we have no basis to say that your grandson from your daughter would be Musar Me'acharecha, because there's no deer. But not because it's Bedavka, the way Shrash was writing it's Hainohat. Ravina is adding a piece. From the very fact that we ignore what was said about Bitcha, so apparently we don't have a basis to be Mechalik in the grandson. That shot explains very well why we need the Ravina's additional deer. But in any event, for some reason, Aika Banot, it needs to be coupled to, and if there were daughters of the Bnei Aseres HaShvatim there, so the Aseres HaShvatim's daughters should have children, even from a goy who would be Jewish, because after all, Om Ravina Shmamina Ben Bincha, Bamin Avikacham Kore Bincha, to which the Gemara answers, there were no grandchildren from daughters. Why? Because Gemire, we have a Kabbalah, the Benata, the Hudara, Itztaruya Itztaru. The women of that generation were all sterilized. Now, either it's a backlog is what that means. Some learned just from multiple rapes that they contracted venereal disease. They were all sterile. Others learned that they bedafka, knowing that they were going to be raped. So they sterilize themselves and learn not to have children from the Ode Kochavi. Others learn that the horrible experiences of the Tulum of the Dead, the trauma itself, sterilized them. But in any event, we have a Kabbalah that there were no such children from daughters. So Mamela, the only thing we have to worry about is the children from sons. The children from sons, Tain and Shmuel, we don't have to worry about. Therefore, there's no chashash of the Kiddushin, because the children of sons would be Goyim, since the wives were Goyas, and there were no children of daughters, so I don't understand what Rabbazi's talking about, says Shmuel to Rabbi Yehuda. Now there's another pshat that goes like this, Ikariyami. Others say that when Rabbi Yehuda said this maimer to Shmuel, Shmuel said that problem over here doesn't exist. Lo zazu misham, the Bezdin in that door was gezer to make the Aseres HaShvatim goyim. Now there's a big machlokus what this means. Does this mean to make them goyim because we know that the Rabbonim could be mafkia kiddushin, because kol mekadesh adat to the Rabbonim mekadesh. So as we say, Reb mekadesh is like kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. That means that we leave it up to Beit Din to determine if Beit Din is Mafkia Kedusha. We find many cases, okay, different ways of understanding Mafkia Kedusha to Efkabest and after Mafkia Kedusha because the Das of the Kedusha. But in any event, there was no Chashash of Kedusha because Rabbanan Mafkia Kedusha from it. Others learn that this means literally They say maybe Alpi Novi, which are, who cares if it's Alpi Novi and Novi was Shoyim Chavish Dover, where do you get such a thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now canceled their Judaism? How do you find they canceled their Judaism? That's like a New Testament.
What happens if they were Alpi Novi, one of Kedushim, so what?
So even if they went to marry your daughter, it doesn't matter. They don't have a dinner of Jews. The Nagei Kedusha. That's how most learn it. That makes the most sense. Because otherwise, how do they have, what do you mean? They're Geyser that they're going to Burim. I mean, how can you do that? What's it going to pop to them from Yibam also?
He's been trying that for generations.
Exactly. Although others learn that Enochinami, from here you see that the nature of a Ben Brit is that there has to be some connection to Brit. If, and because of that it would be true, therefore, on all Mumim, there are those who pass through this with the Dasa, the Marshal, other Perskim, that if a person is completely assimilated, then he's no longer Jewish. In which case, he only could be Chayish for his Kedusha. And it would be Pater from Yibam, and so on and so forth. L'maisa, Allah, l'maisa, I say not even to be Mitzarif, this is Sif, Lutzak. You know, in terms of Shashmam Zeres and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, when the Mordechai says these are serious Mekeres, it says that this is a Din B'Klal on Mumrim, they're not no longer Jewish.
Yeah, you can know for, let's say, if you, not just, I mean, assimilated, but certainly if he converts to another religion, so that he, I mean, no, not just assimilated.
Yeah, if he's Neig, like a guy, it's a cold dog, or he's not Jewish. It has immense implications. Okay, but we don't paskin like that. But anyway, the Mekoresh Shemer Bashem Bagadu Ki Banim Zarim Yuladu. So you see over here that it's like their children are going, basically. Yes, there is Ashwati. So we've been Mela, we don't have to be Chayesh. But not because of the necessarily the question of whether it's a matrilinear descent. Yosef Rav Yosef Achoridu Rav Kahana V'Yosef Rav Kahana Kameidu Rav Yudah. The Yosef Vikom. So now Rav Yosef was sitting in back of Rav Kana was sitting in front of Yehuda and was saying over Atidim Yisrael Da'avda Yumatava Kicharve Tarmod. When Tarmod will be destroyed, they're going to make a yantav out of it. Okay, some learn because of the fact that it's Molei Psulim. So then like these Psulim constantly cause problems of Mamzeres for Yisrael because people keep marrying into them. Others learn because, as we saw yesterday, they were mitzarif to the Yumas Ha'elom to go into destroy Yerushalayim. Hey, shush! Yeah.
Didn't Shmuel have a grandson who was
Mitzarif
to Yerushalayim? Didn't Shmuel said,
that's broad about Shmuel you're talking about.
Yeah.
That story, but yeah, but that's... It's a rape case.
The Lozo
Mishal going back? We're finished with that. We're finished with that circuit. Talk about it. So others learn it's because of the tziruf. What do you mean? Kicharve Tarmud. Chorev Tarmud. Tarmud was already destroyed. No. That was Tamud, not Tarmud. Ravashi says the same thing. Tarmud. What's the difference? But the truth is, obviously, we spoke yesterday that there's some kind of... I think it's Kedai to close that door already. The noises start. Huh? That the correct Girsa here all along is not Tarmod, but rather, as we Tadmor. Because that's the way the name of the city that Shlomo HaMelech made is called Tadmor. And that's what it's referring to. The truth is that in Melachim, the city is called Tamar. As opposed to Tadmor, which is the English name or the Latin name Palmyra, which is the palm, which is Ad Hayom Hazeh, the name of the city. So that the correct years according to that would be Tadmor and Tamar, not Tamad and Tarmod. Okay, so some indeed changed the Girsa over here, and that's why Rav Ashi was saying it's the same place, because Tamar in Melachim is Tadmor in Divrei Hayamim, and it was a bit stubborn that the common usage is the same. Did you bring your books, by the way? Just one little reference. I thought we had a whole library.
Seven books.
So therefore, it's the same place. If it's the same place, then wasn't it already destroyed? But Ichuli the Nichpud. You see, what happened is that Tadmor kept spreading. You could stomp on these people, but you can't keep them down. It's like cockroaches. You step on one side, you step on one side and they expand on the other side. You step on the other side, they go moving into the part that was now being rebuilt. So Mamela, when they finally get rid of him completely, will make a Yom Kippur. Yosef of Amnuna Kamedu Ula. So Amnuna was sitting in front of Ula, the Gahavi Bishmaitza. He was asking him kashas on the shir. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. The Ula was just, wow. He said, wow, my God, this is a man. What a shame he comes from Harpanya. I mean, if he would only have decent yichus, we could even consider him for a shidduch. But he loved the Harpanya mat. If he wouldn't come from Harpanya, he'd be a really good guy. So Yichsef, poor Rav Amnuna, was terribly embarrassed. Ula felt bad, he embarrassed him. So Omar, as he said to him, Kesev Gulgalta, Lechay Afta. By the way, where do you pay taxes to? So which municipality? Says, I paid at Pumnahara. Oh, he said, Sidanya, if your taxes, that's the real definition of Yichus. If you pay taxes to Pumnahara, you must be from Pumnahara, not from... You don't have to worry about it. So then, Imken mi Pumnahara at, and you're not from Harpanya. You're really from Pumnahara. What's this Harpanya? Why do they call it Harpanya? Omra Bizira Har Shakol Ponimbo. That's the dump. And anybody who doesn't have any yichus, that's where they go, because you're bound to find somebody there who's ready to marry you, no matter what you are. They're not mocked on yichus, so therefore that would be a place to go, somebody. Tana kosh ein makir mishpachto v'shifto, a guy who doesn't have a place to hear where he comes from. So the mela, who knows? I mean, maybe he was picked up somewhere and never went. God only knows where he was found. So he is nifna l'sham, he moves out there to get himself a shidduch. So that became the place that was all psulim, basically. Omar Rava v'yamuka mish'ol. This place is deeper than hell, because I'll tell you, you can get out of hell, but you can't get out of Harpanya. Shenema miyad sha'ul evdei mimaves egalem. I will get them out of hell and save them from death. But psula didu, leslu takanta. How are you going to be makshir now? The psulim of Harpanya. So if you got a choice of living in hell or living in Harpanya, better to live in hell. Now, actually, psule de Harpanya is mishum psule de mishan. Psule de mishan is psule de Talmud. We already saw the problems of Talmud. That's where it all started. But actually, the psulim that we have now, Harpanya, I mean, that really comes from mishan, where the expanded the population of Talmud, especially when they're trying to squash them, they moved out there, and they ended up now intermarrying with Harpanya. And as we said, Talmud was a problem because of Avdei Shlomo, which is recorded already in Nach, that he had these conscripts from the Shiva Amamim that had moved out there. They had made Avodim, and he used them to build these cities that he was using for expanded trade and so on. So that became Tamar, which was Talmud. And that was full of psulim because of Eved Alba Alabas Yisrael. Well, Inchi, and you know that's what they say. There's a saying, Kaba Rava Vakaba Zuta. You can have a kav that's puzzle. It's a measurement. Now, it can be puzzle because it's too large, in which it's puzzle because I mean then you end up cheating the person that you're buying from. It can be puzzle because it's too small. You end up cheating the person that you're selling to. But basically, you're not allowed to own those type of things, as they end up destroying the market. So the Kaba Rabba, the Kaba Zuta, they start rolling, you know, and they just keep on rolling on. So they end up Mingadeva Ozil Lishaol. First, they get to hell, but they keep on rolling. They keep on rolling down and rolling, rolling. They go from Shaol to Talmud. Then from Talmud they get to Mishan, and from Mishan they get to Harpanya before they finally roll over and drop dead. Now, right, because of this pshat, it seems to be going to the place that is more chomer, the less chomer to the more chomer. So Tosus learns what it's really talking about over here is the order of rolling in terms of how we got there. In other words, where did it start? So therefore, Sha'ol, he learns, doesn't mean Sha'ol as we referenced a moment ago, which was talking about hell, actually, and it's a reference to Sha'ol. But rather, Sha'ol is a reference here to Bava. Bava being Amok. It's Amok, it should be called. So all of the Psulim originally were in Bava. Then, as we know, Ezra, Nach, you have your phone with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So from Sha'ol, now in Bavel, Ezra went through all of the Yichus, and these people were Nitcha from Bavel, ended up now in Talmud, from Talmud to Mishamesh and Arpanya, which is what we just said. Because he has a problem with Rashi's Pshat, that the Sha'ol is a reference to, which is the Pashtas, that it's Miyad Sha'ol of Dev, is a reference to Sha'ol. So then, if that's the case, we should be talking about the Chomor. I mean, the most Chomor is basically Talmud. The others were just... So maybe, really, in the end, I mean, Tosfos says maybe the pshat over here is that in the end, the most ended up settling in Talmud, in Mishan, and or in Arpanya, or maybe Talmud had so many goyim you couldn't call it a city of Yisrael, but this was a city of Yisrael. They were all cities of Psulim. But in any event, on some level, either historically Arpanya we view as the latest stop, or Arpanya is the worst of all, so to speak, starting from Sha'ol, because it ends up being an ostensibly Jewish city that you can't trust anybody that you're going to end up marrying in. How do we have a problem over here? Because our Sava Josh is away for a Simcha, Baruch Hashem, but the question is, are you ready to take his position? I hope you've been practicing. This is a major one. Okay. We'll play this back to him. We'll see. We went through all of the sugyas in the Gemara up until now, the first Mishnah. Because Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo is a dramatically different type of ptur in the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, because after all, she isn't an erva. She's only an erva because of a yibum. Usually yibum is chal b'makom erva. So we dedicate now the next perek to an understanding of the relationship of the original marriages to the brothers that are to come. And this is where we miyachid all of the limudim that we just touched on earlier. And so the perek opens with a discussion now of an expansion of the first Mishnah. You said in the first Mishnah, Ve'eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Ketzad eshet achiv shelo haya ba'olamo. Explain that. Well, okay, you start off with two brothers, okay? There's only two brothers. Meit echad miyam, one of them dies. Now, comes along now another brother into the world who wasn't born at the time that his original brother, the deceased brother, was living. V'nolad lahem ach. Now this, of course, is the case which we said everybody is meida, that there's a problem of Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo in a case where he was born before the Yibun takes place of brother number two. So your brother three is born between the death of brother one and the Yibun of brother two. The Yachar Kach Yibim HaShini, now known brother two, is Meyabim Eishet Achiv, the wife of brother number one, who mate, and now brother number two dies. So wife number one, now why we're calling her wife number one, we'll see in the Gemara. But wife number one, meaning the woman who had been married to brother number one, is Yotzah Mishomeshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo. She now is an erva because she retains her Easter erva from the first brother, because she's an Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, meaning that she's basically a normal Eshet Ach, but Shelo B'makom Mitzvah Yibum. V'ashniyah Mishum Tzarata, the second wife, and again we'll see why she's called the second wife. I mean, she could have been the first wife. Who knows what order he was married to this woman. But in any event, the second woman was the Tzara. She now becomes Ptura from Yibum because she is the Tzarat Erva of an Eshet Ach, in a very unusual case. Normally, the very same Isser that creates the Heter is here the thing which creates the Isser and parts you from Yibum. Asaba Ma'amaru made. How about if the brother goes ahead now and didn't have a chance to do Yibum, but all he did was Ma'amar? Now, we saw earlier, that Ma'amar creates a Rabbonan Kiddushin. which is now effective in that it means that it requires a get, and it's effective in terms of answering the other brothers, as we'll see later on. But it isn't really a diraita. In this case, she's not really a tsaraser, because the wife to whom he had been married before he took this woman was a real marriage. He was never consummated the Yibum to make her a Tzarat Erva, because she was never really married at the same time that the Erva was married. He never ended up marrying the Erva. He died before he married her, but he did give her this Rabbonin Kedusha, which doesn't have a Diraisa basis, really, because it's only the Zika that creates the relationship with Diraisa. So therefore, we can't simply say, well, but the Rabbanan said, after all, that it's as if they're married, so she shouldn't get Yibum or Chalitza. I mean, she obviously needs some kind of tour. So therefore, she can't get Yibum, because Mid Rabbanan, she's a Tzaras Erva, but she can't go free, because Mid Raisa, she's a real Yevama. And therefore, we say Choletzet, as in all of these cases, the other wife will be Choletzet velo mityabenet. Now, but what that means is that the other wife is the first wife, not the second wife. The language now gets really confusing. You're saying shniya. What do you mean shniya? You mean rishona. The first wife of the second brother. She's the only wife of the Uriah. We certainly can't call her the second wife.
Second wife.
Okay, but now we've got to clarify what we mean by calling the other the second. The other, the acheret, in what sense the second? Okay, so we're going to talk about now the language in the Mishnah. And in fact, there really was a Mishnah that said it the other way around. So there was a Girs in the Mishnah that called her, not the Shniyah, but the Rishonah, and called the second wife, meaning the one that fell for brother one. She was the second wife to that brother. So actually, Omer of Nachman, Man detani Rishonah lo mishtabesh. If you have the girsa in your Mishnah, the Rishonah, which is what we have over here, a Rishonah, that was the woman who was married to the first brother, and she is now falling to this brother for the second time. So that's nothing wrong with that girsa, we'll explain it. And there's a girsa in the Mishnah that calls her the second. And that also makes a lot of sense. I mean, mandatani rishonah, if you're talking about the first, lo mishtabesh, there's nothing wrong with that, because that would mean rishonah in the sense of the first to have fallen liyibum, rishonah lenifilah, because she fell actually from brother number one already to brother number three, because he had been born before the Yibum of brother number two. So she was the first to fall to him for Yibum, but at that point became actually Tzula, because she's already an Eshet Achiv Shel Hayah Ba'olamo. So okay, that would be Mandatani Shniyah Lo Mishtab. We could say the same word for the Shniyah. My Shniyah, Shniyah La Nisuin. She's the second wife of the second brother. Wait, why are you saying that? Milo askinon diyavam ve'acharkach kanas. I mean, it would have made just as much sense if he had first taken the yavama, from brother number one, and then he went ahead and married his second wife. So, I mean, why is she necessarily the second wife? Why can't she still be the first wife? Okay, fine. So, shnia, I don't mean shnia in the marriage to the second brother. I mean shniya bin nisuin. This is the twice married woman, that's the point. So in other words, the shniya, the one who's coming from her second marriage, so in that way I'm identifying her as the wife now of brother two, who is the yavama, because she's been married twice. So I'm calling her now the twice married woman, the shniya, when she falls, that's the pshat. So where do we get this whole idea from, anyway? Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo. Where is the same thing in the Torah about an Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo? Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Well, it says Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav. What Yachdav means is Shaita Lahem Yeshiva Achat Ba'olam. They have had a chance to be together in this world, but in this case, where he was born after his brother was deceased, They were never together in this world. So prat la ein shetachiv shelo haya ba'olamo. And there's another meaning to the word yachdav. Yachdav means miyuchadim benachala. They are together in the sense that they will inherit one the other. Now the only type they inherit one the other is if they have a common father. But if they have a common mother, since inheritance follows, goes up to the father, they will not inherit one another, because the moment it goes up to the father, if the father is deceased, it won't come down to the mother's. It'll come down to the father's other relatives, either other sons that he has, or will go up another generation, will go to the uncle. But it'll always be through a father, not through a mother. So therefore, brothers who are through to a common mother are not truly yachadav in the sense that they do not share the same money. They don't have the same Yerusha. And therefore, they're not really together. So that tells us, prat la'achiv min ha'em. So from one word, we learn two very important halachas. The concept of eshetach shelo haya ba'olamo, and the idea of what defines an ach in the context of yibum. Only a brother from a common father. Rabba Omar, Rabba says, achim min ha'av is not from the idea of yachdav, because yachdav doesn't necessarily refer to nachala. Achim min ha'av we could learn out from Gzeirah Shava. Yolif achva achva mibnei Yaakov. Just like over there, when the brothers introduced themselves to Yosef, so they call themselves Shemasar achim anachnu and bnei avinu, which of course is the case. They couldn't say they were achim and ahim. There were four different mothers. But we are 12 brothers, the sons of our father, our common father. That means that the word achim, as it appears in the Torah, is a reference to brothers from a father. And therefore, here too, when it says, ki yeshu achim yachdav, brothers who are together are the same as the brothers b'nei Yaakov from a common father. So just like over there, la'ala min ha'av min ha'av min ha'im, hafkan min ha'av v'lo min ha'im. Well, now, wait. If you're looking to learn from a Gzeirah Shavah, basically, Achva, I mean, it makes the most sense, doesn't it, to look into the parsha of Arayot. I mean, that's where we are. We're talking about a case of an Erev. I mean, over there, it says, Eshet Achicha. And over there, it clearly means either type. It's Mina Av or Mina Aim. Why don't we learn it out from Arayot? Because there we learn out clearly, we're going to have a raya later on in the sugya, but we've seen it even in our Mishnah, that Eshet Ach Mina Aim is Asura. So, why isn't Achecha over there, Eshet Achicha, a raya to Achim? Yeshu Achim Yachdav, and then it could be referring even to brothers from a common mother. No, we wouldn't do that, because we learn out the word Shneimasar Achim to the word Achim Yachdav, right? But we can't learn out Achech Eshet Achicha to Achim. I mean, those are two different words. Ve'im danim achim me'achech. We're not going to learn out achim from achecha. My nafkamina. What do you mean? Why not? All of a sudden you're makbid on the exact same use of a word. Don't we have the famous Tana Devei Rav Yishmael who says it doesn't even have to be the same word at all? Only has to be the same meaning. So it says v'shav ha'kohen, uba ha'kohen. Now those are different words, but the meaning basically is the same. I mean, is the kohen coming to the house to see, or is the kohen coming back to the house to see him? I mean, who cares, basically? Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia, Koshikain, Achim and Achicha is the same thing. Yes, but as we've had for the 100th time, Animila Echad Alekamita Dedamila. That's where we don't have a better match. So Achecha and Achim would be the same thing. But if you've got a perfect match from Achim to Achim, so obviously, where you have Mita Dedamila, Mita Dedamila Yalfina. We learn it from the thing which is most similar. Okay, you want to learn from the most similar? Very good. I got a case for you. Straight out of Megillas Rus. Let's learn Achva, Achva from Lot. Avram calls Lot Achim, right? He says, Anashim Achim Anachnu. So if that's the case, we should learn from Lot that your Eshet Achi Aviv, which would be the case over here, your brother would mean even your uncle. like Lot was. This Lot was Avram's brother's son. So in that case, a person should be b'chuyev, look at his uncle as an ach, and he should now need to take his brother's wife, in case he died without children, his father's brother's wife, as a yevama, says achim, anashim achim anachim.
His father's brother's son's wife.
Lot had a father's brother who called him an ach. So that means that if he would die, they would be achim.
Yeah. Right. Go both ways.
Both ways, yeah. Exactly. So why don't we learn it out from there? Because it's mistavra to be mei Yaakov avav emelach. Vishum demuth mei. Look, I mean, where we have a gzera shav, and one side is extra, we'll always look to the extra rather than to the one that would have needed to be written whether or not it was a gzera shav. Because it could have just said over there, was the point achim or was the point we're all b'nei avinu? I mean, just say, shnei masar avadecha b'nei avinu. Well, you have to insert, if you need to stress to him anyway, b'nei avinu. And the whole idea of we're coming basically to, looks like you've been preempted, Aaron. I don't know. You could try beating him. Yeah, Barnea has to leave anyway. Thank you very much for Aaron, sit down.
Sorry?
Yes. Okay, rent. Yes, please remind me that beep in the middle was a message from Rabbi Shlomo Kaplan, if we want any tzedakah for Shavuos, for his tzedakahs. Just remind me afterwards. In any event, so Blashenkein, the other case, is not mufna by Lot. It is the only word there is achim. So Shema be'alaf nuyeh. So therefore, it must be to make it extra. And if that's the case, we learn it only from Bnei Yaakov and not from Bnei Lot. V'itzrich l'michtav achim, v'itzrich l'michtav yachdam. Now we need both limudim. Let's say the Torah would have said achim. So I thought, okay, if it just says achim, maybe we should learn it from Lot. What? You just said we can't learn it from Lot. V'chitem alo mufnei. No, because I got a problem there. The truth is lie. Indeed, afnuye. I say afnuye mufne. It is extra. Even by Lot, it's extra. Because, v'dahavilei lemichtav re'im. I mean, what's... Avram could have said, we are friends. Or somebody said, we are brothers. So, v'ksiv achim. So, he must be stressing the brotherhood. So, the fraternal element over here is a limut to yibam. Shema min alafnuye. Therefore, the Torah writes Yachdav to tell me miyuchadim benachala. Bashenken ikas rachmana Yachdav. I would have said maybe Yachdav means totally together, children that share the same upbringing, have the same father and mother. Maybe that's the meaning. The miyachti ba'aba ube'ima. So therefore, Yachdav is not enough. I need achim, and that would explain why we're looking for two separate limudim. Now, come on, where all of a sudden you make up the thing that you need to have a common mother and a father. Where the heck do we find such a halacha? You have a right to make that up out of whole cloth over here. A brother is a brother. Why would it have to be a brother from both a father and a mother? Well, no, because, you're a Yibum ben Akhla Tola Rachman. I thought we just saw that it's a question of similar Nachala. And Nachal has always been Av. You don't have a right to insist that it's also a common mother. So Nachal has been Av. Is that great?
Can we take that again?
The screaming monkey.
Fly, my pretty, fly.
Okay, you guys in Joburg, anybody who falls asleep, you never know where a flying monkey may come from. This one popped out from over the internet. So, where would you get that idea from? Well, Itzrich, I would get that idea. I'll tell you. Because basically we're talking about a vast chiddush over here, right? All of the chiddush. Basically what the Torah is saying is that we should ignore the Yisra v'arayot. Komishtari erev agabe. So in order, if we're looking at a type of relationship that would be powerful enough to cancel out the Yisurim of Erevah, then maybe that relationship has to be so full-hearted that you can actually stand in your brother's shoes, forget about Chalitza, so ad b'yachte ba'aba u'be'ima, then you would have to actually share a life with a common father and a mother. Therefore, we need additionally to say, Achim to Darshan, Achim, that I mean, they did not share a common mother, B'nai Yaakov. They didn't. So, Memela, it comes to teach me that it's sufficient to have the Achiv Mina Av, and of course, it's not sufficient Achiv Mina Ein, because then they're not Miufad and Menachem. Therefore, Tzricha. So, we need both Limudim. Now, we enter into the world of Zika. Now, we've met Zika before briefly when we brought up Rabbi Shimon's Litzror Drosha, that Litzror actually means two sisters that fall from two separate brothers to a third brother, and now they're related because they both fell somehow to this other brother. That implies a certain relationship that exists between them that is not a typical marriage relationship, but that comes about through the nature of the Yibum. So we've already sensed that there's such a relationship. The question is that relationship a d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Is that relationship sufficient to actually create kirva, so that a woman who was once a yevama, then even if it was never consummated a yevama, she now is like a wife, and her mother is also for you to marry, her daughter is also for you to marry, and so on. So comes on Rav Huna, quoting Rab, Om Rav Huna Amar Rab, and says, if a shomeret yevam died before you ever did the Yibum on her, you're allowed to marry her mother, which means that she was not your wife. Alma kasava ein zika. So apparently what Rav is saying, what Vunis quoting Rav is saying, is that we do not hold that there exists such a state of relationship of zika.
Why does it mention mother, not sister?
We're gonna, well, because the sister would be true even if she was your wife. Even if a wife dies, one is mutter to marry her sister. The chiddush over here is in the mother, so that even the arayas that remain after death, if it would have said sister, wouldn't have proven a darn thing. On the contrary, we would have been medayek, as we're about to be, dafka her sister because she died, but her mother not, which would be asura b'yish. So this was the case that would tell me ein zika. But if that's the case, why not just say, halacha ki divrei ha'omer ein zika? When we have the famous case, is that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is speaking about a case where you have two brothers that survived. One of the brothers goes ahead and gives kiddushin, he doesn't take her to the chuppah, he gives kiddushin to the sister of the woman who has just fallen to Yibam from his deceased brother. So now comes on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and he says, don't consummate this marriage until your brother takes care of the Yibam, either by giving chalitza or by giving Yibam. Right? Then you can consummate the marriage. So in other words, he apparently holds that there is such a thing as Zika, because you have to wait until you take off the Zika. The Zika can disappear, but Zika will only disappear with an act that is a anti-Zika act. In other words, it completes the Yibam, either through Chalitza or through Yibam. But if she would just die, leaving the Zika hanging, so then in a finami, you would still be usher to marry the sister. So wait until your brother completes the Zika move, either by giving Chalitza or by giving Yibam. So all you have to say is, I paskin ein zika. I don't paskin like this halach of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. I paskin like the Rabbanan who argue, or implied Rabbanan, who argue on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. No. Because let's say he would have said, I paskin ein zika. The case, the only case existing that we have of the statement of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra is by definition a case where there were two surviving brothers. Because he's saying, you wait until your brother takes care of the problem, then you can go ahead and consummate the marriage to the sister of the woman who has fallen to both of you for Yivam. So perhaps what he would be saying, Rav, is that if I just said Ein Zika, there's no Zika in such a case. You know why? Because it could have been anybody. So it could be brother A, it could be brother B. If there's more than one option, then maybe Ein Zika, because it's so vague. How do I know that the relationship is to me? Maybe it's to my brother. But how about in a case where there's one brother? Maybe over there everybody would be mitered at Yesh Zika. Therefore comes along Raf to say, there's one brother. You're the only surviving brother. But if the woman who falls to you for Yibum dies, so you say, oh, so now we got a real problem. There's only one brother, and there for sure Zika. Even there's no Zika. You go marry her mother, and it's not a problem of Chamotcha. So therefore, there's no way for him to simply paskin Ein Zika. He's got to tell you. Even in a case with his one brother who now wants to marry the mother of the woman who fell to him for Yibum, there's no problem in doing that if she's no longer alive. So therefore, let's just see that inside.
As long as he didn't do either of those.
Right, as long as he didn't do anything. So, Ihavi Omer Hachi, because if he had said that, Hava Mina Hanamina betray. I would have thought that's Dafka, but there's two brothers, there's no Zika. Avo Bechad, in the case that actually Rav wanted to tell us, but there's only one brother, I would have made the mistake of thinking that there he would agree that Yeh Zika. So Memeli, he couldn't just say Halacha that Ein Zika. Why couldn't he say Halacha Kedivrei Emer in Zika Afilu Bechad? I mean, instead of telling us the case and forcing us through this torturous analysis, he could have simply said the Halacha is Ein Zika under any and all circumstances, even if there's only one brother. No, because then I would have thought there's no such thing as Zika Afilu Michai. What he's saying is there is no relationship that you have to a woman who has fallen to you from Yibum if you have not done Yibum or Chalitza. And therefore, since there is no such relationship, what the heck? Go marry her mother before you do the Yibum of Chalitza. Of course, if you do that, then you won't be able to marry her. She'll become an Erva, and then you cancel the Yibum. So I would have thought that that's okay. Therefore, comes along Rav to say, now wait a minute, I said if she died, you can marry her mother-in-law. Her mother. But you cannot marry her mother while she's alive. Why? I mean, if there's no Zika, why can't you? Kamashmalan. Therefore, he comes to teach us another piece that you didn't take into consideration. Kamashmalan la'achar mita ein. It's only because she's dead. But michayim lo. Not because of Zika, but because mishum do asur levatel mitzvat yadmin. You cannot do an act which will now cancel the chiyuv of Yibum. Once you're chayev in Yibum, for you to create a situation that makes her into an erva, that makes Yibum and Chalitza impossible, is wrong. So therefore, even though I'm saying Ein Zika, by saying my case and insisting that she die, I'm telling you a new halacha, which is a very important halacha, that you never would have dreamt of if I would have simply said, halacha Ein Zika afilu b'chad. And that is, you cannot make a move to cancel the chiyuv of Yibum. So now we have a lot of fascinating new ideas here. The idea of Zika, per se, is new. The question of Zika Bechad or Zika Betray, that technicality is something we didn't talk about earlier. And this new halacha, is there an Isser to do a move that will be Mevatel Mitzvah Yavmi? A whole new mitzvah, a whole new chiyuv. Tanah. Now look, it says in the Mishnah that Yevimto Shemeta, a man's Yevama who dies, he is mutar ba'achuta. He's allowed to marry her sister. Now, her sister, that's obvious, isn't it? I mean, if it's saying that, because even if he had already done the Yevama, even if she'd be his normal wife, he could marry a sister once his wife dies. So if it's stressing sister, then that's the whole point. He can marry his sister, yeah. But don't even dream of marrying her mother. Because that's something that's chalaf yuli achar mita. So you see, dafka ba'achota, in that, yes, but be imah lo. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us is that yesh zika, and that once a yavama, always a yavama, and that you're not any better off than if she would have been your wife. So the most you'll ever get a chance to marry is the only erva that exists that is canceled by death, which is a sister, a wife sister. Now, the truth is the Mishnah was not coming to make that deal. The Mishnah wasn't referring to this issue at all. Hu adin da afilu bi'ima. The Mishnah may well hold, the Mishnah's not just not interested in this issue. The Mishnah might well have held that ain't zikah, you'd be mutter even in the mother. The Mishnah, if you recall, was coming, the whole reish of the Mishnah, was to introduce the idea of ishto shemeta mutar ba'achuta. The Mishnah begins by saying, a woman who's married to you, who dies, you are allowed to marry her sister. So there, indeed, it's a very strong, you're allowed to marry her sister. Remember that, only her sister and not her mother. So because of that, there, of course, it's ba'achuta'in. Be'imalo. I mean, that's in a satiraisa. That's a real erava. So Mamela, it already parallels it and says, and by the way, don't think that the Yavama is any different. Same thing is true about a Yavama. You can marry your sister. Okay, I mean, it may well be that by a Yavama you could even marry your mother, because ain zika. But we're not coming to discuss that. So it says also sefer mutar ba'achuta. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, Shomeret Yavam Shemeta Asur Be'ima. Actually, there is no way to ever marry a Shomeres Yavam's mother, even though you never did a Maisa of Yibum or Chalitza, unless you cancel the Zika. The only way that the Zika would be canceled would be if there's a brother who did Yibum or Chalitza, removing the Zika from you. At that point, there was no Zika, doesn't define anything for you. But if that never happened, and she died, then she died in a state of Zika, and Alma Kasava Yej Zika. So that means that he's saying that there's such a thing as Zika. But, I mean, so then why can't he just say so?
Well, what happened if he gives her
Chalitza? No, so then he was the one that she's now Achot Chalutzato, which is a different...
By the mother.
Again, there's a Eim Chalutzato, even Achot Chalutzato is us. Eim Chalutzato are certainly also, but we'll see. That's a new concept. That Chalutza is considered to be a relative. Why not just say so? So say we pass in Yesh Zika. That makes it simple. No. Because if I would have said that, then you would have said Yesh Zika, but maybe only in this case, where there's only one brother, and this guy had this woman who was 100% going to be his Yavama, because there's no other brother. Now she dies. Over there, I understand that the clarity of the Zika, not being amorphous here at all, there's only one brother that was Chalan, maybe over there, Yeh Zika. But betray, suppose there had been two brothers, so maybe Enochinami. I would not have told the brother who had given Kiddushin to the mother-in-law, which was Imamish, the case over there, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, I wouldn't have told him, wait until your brother does a Maisa. I would have said, look, there's another brother anyway. I mean, so why say she's a kuka to you? Go ahead and marry, Gesundheit, marry the mother. I mean, what's the big deal? Maybe in that case, so therefore, I couldn't just say, yay, Zika, because betray, maybe we'd be Modain Zika. What are you talking about? The Machlokas is in the case of two. The Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, with Rabbanan, is in a case with the two brothers, one of whom had given now Erisin, Kiddushin, to the mother, and we tell him, wait until the other brother gives Yibum or Chalitza. So what are you telling him? You paskin halacha, yesh zika. Then you're paskining it in the context of that machlokas of two brothers. You're saying yesh zika in the case even of two live brothers. So how could you have thought that? Well, could keep pleading, betray pleading. The machlokas is about a case of yesh zika and two brothers. So obviously if you say halacha, yesh zika, you're saying halacha, yesh zika, even a vague zika, that is spread out over more than one brother? Ooh, you're right. Ella, okay, I'll tell you why I couldn't just say that. Because Amar Haki would have said, Alok is Yeh Zika. Hava mina mechayim avo meyachim mita pakala Zika. Remember, there's a big Kiddush over here. Because, look, we're all agreed that if the other brother does Yimum or Chalitza, so then he's removed the Zika. So, I mean, couldn't we easily have thought, and if she dies, for sure that removes the Zika. I mean, there's no What's the problem? There's nobody left. Kamashmalan, that Dafka, because she, there was an act of Yibam or Chalitza, but in the case where she died, there is still Zika, because Zika Bichdi Lo Pak'a. You cannot remove a Zika without a specific act, which is a Zika remover. The only Zika remover is Yibum or Chalitza. So what this consists of is a case where a woman dies as a Zikuka. Therefore, that relationship is a permanent relationship, just as a woman who dies as a wife. If that's the case, it's not going to change anything. The marriage is a marriage. You're to a Zika is a Zika. You are permanently Asura in her mother. So too as a Zikuka. You're permanently Asura.
Permanently.